Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Kernels. I'm Christopher Hooton, and oh boy, what a week it's been for film and TV, with possibly the biggest film of the year and certainly the biggest TV show of the year arriving. So Sunday marked the return of the graveyard shift for me, which is something I kind of complain about, but then secretly quite enjoy. This is Game of Thrones, obviously, I'm talking about. So, you know, everyone in my house goes to sleep around 10 o'clock, and then I'm there waiting for like 4 hours. A little bit of time to myself. It's quite nice, quite rare. And then around 2, well, at 2, the new season started, and then I'm there writing about it until I think it was 6:30 in the morning I got to sleep. I was there so, like, zombified watching Game of Thrones at one point in my living room that I had the back door open because, obviously, it's crazy hot at the moment. And Urban Fox just kind of, like, poked his nose in to come and watch Game of Thrones maybe with me. And he didn't even notice that there was a human being in there because I was just sitting so still watching the show. And it could have been a Game of Thrones-centric episode of Kernels this week. But, I mean, we did do one 2 weeks ago about the kind of broader questions about the quality of the show, and also the episode, even though it was, you know, hugely talked about and everyone was watching it, didn't actually have a lot of substance to it. Not a huge amount really happened. It was kind of like a recap of the end of last season. So what we're going to focus on instead today is Dunkirk, which is going to be, you know, one of the biggest films of the summer, one of the biggest films of the year. It's going to pick up a lot of awards, and, you know, it's a Christopher Nolan film, which is always a big talking point because the guy is incredibly consistent. You know, he's, at the very least, his films are always going to be interesting, they're always going to be big scale and have a bold narrative. So I'm going to start off by reading you my review of the film, which we posted online on Monday when the embargo dropped, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about what I kind of didn't have room for in the review and what it's been like seeing the other reactions from other critics come out about it, and then we're going to move into a quick kind of catch up with Cillian Murphy and Mark Rylance, two very talented actors and generally nice guys. So here's the review, 4 stars. The war film genre is a fundamentally competitive one which many great directors have submitted an often single entry to. It's a test of one's technical chops. Can you replicate on the screen one of the most complicated and terrible activities that man has ever taken part in? With Christopher Nolan's submission, the answer is yes, and in unique and spectacular fashion. Dunkirk is an unusually linear film from the writer-director of Memento, The Dark Knight Trilogy and Interstellar, centering exclusively on the evacuation of Allied troops who found themselves surrounded in Dunkirk, France during the Second World War. There's no political context provided, no worried families back home, it's focused entirely on the race to rescue soldiers itself, and as such is tense and battle-orientated from start to finish. Nolan does allow himself one piece of trademark narrative disruption, though, the chronology of the film not being as straightforward as it initially appears. The director playfully thanked Warner Brothers for giving this, quote, British movie an American budget, unquote, at the film's premiere, and indeed it was necessary in achieving his vision, paying for the extensive practical effects, boats, planes, and vast cast of extras employed to make war look real. It's very much a story of land, sea, and air, and all three elements look jaw-dropping, shot meticulously by cinematographer Hoyte van Hoytema on IMAX 65mm film stock. He did her Interstellar, Spectre. He's everyone's go-to guy. The Spitfire dogfights in the sky are particularly gorgeous, unfolding most of the time from a cockpit or first-person perspective and making it feel like you're playing a video game 10 generations of console into the future. On land, the sea foam shivers on the beaches around the dead, even the howling wind not seeming to want to let the soldiers escape, while at sea, the desperate situation on sinking destroyer boats is depicted with gasping grit, the camera being flipped on its side and stationed in unusual places in order to capture the mania as the troops struggle to extricate themselves from the water's embrace. The sound editing and mixing is sure to be decorated at the Oscars. When you go to see the film, note the heartbeat-like thumping footsteps near the opening, and the score from frequent Nolan collaborator Hans Zimmer is as virtuosic as ever. Mark Rylance, Tom Hardy, Cillian Murphy, Kenneth Branagh, as a terrifyingly talented quartet of actors, but they're actually only used sparingly in supporting roles and feel like a paternal presence on the cast. Murphy is parachuted in to give a small but emotionally pivotal role as a shell-shocked officer. Branagh plays a classic stiff upper lip commander. Rylance expertly portrays the quiet resolve of a wartime Brit as a mariner who goes steaming into the battle on a tiny boat. And Hardy, well, Hardy is just incredibly badass as an RAF pilot. To tell you more about him and his character would be to stray into spoiler territory, but suffice to say that the 8-year-old and you will be wanting to punch the air in the cinema. These performances underpin those of the younger cast, as, after all, war is nearly always a story of young men and women losing their lives. Finn Whitehead, Tom Glencarney, Barry Cogan and Harry Styles are the teenagers caught up in the horror and perform alongside their elders admirably. I think it's fair to single out Harry Styles' performance for analysis here, as frankly, Nolan brought it on himself by casting him, even if he did underestimate the singer's fame at the time. And yes, Styles is very confident and his performance does not stick out like a sore thumb as many feared. You just immediately accept him as a soldier alongside the infinitely less recognisable others. He doesn't exactly have any especially challenging scenes, but he's solid and takes the job seriously, and I imagine, for better or worse, many lead future film roles will follow if he wants them, given the immediate box office injection that comes with his casting. One small criticism in the casting department, though. The young actors are all so uniformly chiselled and good-looking, it's like conscription was restricted to Burberry models, to the point where it's legitimately hard to sell the soldiers apart at some points. In choosing to hone in on the action and functioning as a survival film, Dunkirk does lack the cinematic surrealism of something like Apocalypse Now or the poignant quirks of something like Saving Private Ryan. I'm thinking of the scene in Saving Private Ryan when the soldiers are sitting around in a demolished town listening to Edith Piaf on a gramophone and talking about home. These are clearly choices by Nolan rather than shortcomings or oversights, but nonetheless it is what bars the film from best war movie ever lists for me. It's a staggering achievement, but for some will verge on clinical, particularly as it wraps up in patriotic fervour toward the end. In spite of my want for deeper or more oblique notes in it, though, Dunkirk is an unbelievably assured and thrilling war film. Nolan is at the top of his game, and what a joy it is to watch him construct such grand-scale filmmaking. So that's what I wrote up after seeing the film and what went up earlier in the week. And I think it's probably fair to say, even though I think that's a glowing review, it was probably on the lower end of the scale to other critics who've really gone in with a ton of five-star reviews, and I think they're perfectly legitimate, and I can see why it'd be given five stars, because it's kind of, it's a perfect film for what it is. Like, the film that Nolan has made, you couldn't really make any better. It's from start to finish, it's impeccable. But I guess if anything's lacking for me, it's what the film could have been and what other films can be. I mean, it's a very intense experience. It might well be the most immersive war film ever made, but as I mentioned in the review, it does lack anything perhaps unique and different and new, and it doesn't necessarily work on a lot of other levels, and that's just a personal taste thing. You know, some people are going to want that kind of war movie that's Kubrickian and hits different notes, and some people are just going to want a straightforward, intense, thrilling action film, which it absolutely definitely is. It's the kind of film, you know, you take your dad to this film, he's not going to be mad about it. It's a really, really enjoyable watch. But in terms of other Nolan films, I think we're going to try and do a ranking at some point this week. Now he's got his latest addition to his filmography. I think it's up there with his best. I always have pretty controversial opinions on his films because I really disliked Inception. For me, it was just complex to the point of being kind of convoluted, you know. It's like, oh, where are they going to fall off their chairs into next, a dream layer that's just where the sea is soup? I don't know, it didn't work for me, that, even though it looked amazing. For me, my favourites are, like, I love Memento, I love Interstellar. I don't know if Dunkirk's quite as good as those two, but I think it's definitely in third place for me. So yeah, I hope everyone does go out and see it. I hope they see it on the big screen. You know, this is something people say so often for films, you know, oh, make sure you see this one in the cinema or see it on IMAX, but it's really, really true and really the case with this film, because it really is about the experience, and the sound, particularly as I mentioned, is just absolutely extraordinary. So now we're going to have a little chat with some of the cast from Dunkirk. When it comes to big blockbusters like this, it's not the best in terms of getting time with people, because when someone like Cillian Murphy is doing press around a smaller film, you know, an indie drama, then there's a certain amount of people who are willing to cover that, and you tend to get better access. But when it's something like Dunkirk, you know, everyone wants a piece of that pie. You know, you've got This Morning there with cameras, like every radio station, The One Show, Graham Norton, all of these people want a little bit of time. So constantly it gets carved up in smaller amounts, which can be quite frustrating. So, you know, hopefully we'll get Christopher Nolan here, we'll get Cillian Murphy on here, we'll get Mark Rylance on here at length at some point. But for now, we had like about 5 minutes with Cillian and Mark. But I mean, you know, it was an intense day of press for them, but they were generally really nice guys and gave some really interesting answers. They kind of talking about how real it was on set with the lack of kind of CGI in this production, what it's like working with Nolan, who definitely has his own approach. So yeah, I hope you find it interesting. My colleague Jacob, who's been on previous podcasts, picked up the Cillian Murphy interview, and I spoke to Mark Rylance, who is paired with Barry Keoghan, who's on a boat with him for the entire film, essentially. And meeting Mark Rylance, man, that guy is kind of an aspirational figure. He kind of dresses in like a loose shirt, somewhat Morrissey-esque, and sits very still and very upright on a chair. There's a lot of eye contact and a very soft voice, and just kind of sort of something monk-like about him that I respected. And yeah, seemed like he's living life the right way, you know. So enjoy, and thanks for listening always, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks for the next episode.
So your part of the story is like the heart of the film, right? Because it's so action-orientated elsewhere that you're bringing kind of the emotion and the human aspect to it.
Ours is our day was a little bit stiller, yeah. Wasn't it? We had many hours in terms of our day as the characters' stories. Mm. We had many hours just sailing slowly, motoring slowly across the channel. So I guess you're right, there's something stiller about our story. The other two stories don't have any stillness.
Yeah. And you spend, obviously, the entire film in the boat. Did you want to familiarise yourself with it before the take?
We did.
So you felt very much like you owned that boat and you knew it.
Yeah, Chris took us out for a day and we sailed out along that mole and then back and forth, yeah, along the coast of off of Dunkirk.
Yeah. Was it very much filmed on the water then?
Oh, yeah, there was no CGI, nothing, yeah. Nothing for us in a tank or anything like that. It was all on the boat.
Oh, real?
Yeah.
Stay tuned. After this advert, we're going to say some more words.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Did you guys feel that there was like a sense of passing of the guard a little bit with this film, and that there's, you know, it must have been kind of daunting for you working with Mark and Tom and Cillian and people, but all their roles were quite small, and it was kind of about you guys, it was about accentuating the younger actors in the film.
Well, war is generally experienced by younger people, so that's a necessity in a war film, isn't it? Mm. And it's great how Chris cast very young, emerging actors to get them as young as possible. I think that's a very important, true look of the story.
Mm. Were you nervous going into the shoot?
No, not nervous.
Are you ever nervous?
I don't really get nervous.
Cool.
I get excited, and you know, obviously, I'm a fan of the cast, like, you know, and it's not nervousness. It's more like I'm excited to meet these lads who I look up to, like, you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
Working with Christopher Nolan, is there anything kind of idiosyncratic about his direction style on set?
Yeah, very much so. He's very particular about using film and about everything being real in front of the camera. So there are a lot of old techniques used in this film to make it look real, you know, but the flame on the water and the men swimming in flame.
Yeah, nothing, it was all real.
You know, he really wants to minimize the amount of post-production CGI stuff.
Yeah.
He's written it as well, so he has a very strong idea from inception of what it wants to be. He does things like he doesn't like having chairs on set for actors and stuff like that. He is very, very particular.
Or bottles of water.
Or bottles of water, or he has very particular tastes.
What do you think those two things, what is it about not having chairs that...
I mean, distractions, aren't they? Like, you know, and keeps you on your toes, literally.
Right.
Bottles of water, you know, the noise of them can be quite... And they're like toys almost, isn't it? Just playing around with toys, like if, you know...
Yeah, he's kind of like a craftsman, isn't he? Would you say it's a fair like characterization of his
genius?
Yeah, he's definitely into the craft of it and serious. He wants to do what he considers everything about it. He has his eye on every aspect of the creation of the film. And of course, it's also unusual, very unusual, and very pleasant that it's a husband and wife team. So there isn't a team of big, you know, suited producers all fretting in the background. There's just Emma, his wife. And so it feels more like when you're involved in a student film and there's a couple, and that's how they emerge.
Yeah.
So they've maintained, even though they've become very successful and are able to harness all this resource, you still feel like you're with a young group of pair of film graduates who are making something that's personal and they're enthusiastic about it and they want to change the world.
Yeah.
You know.
That's ultimately what you want, isn't it? You want the feel of a student film in terms of the enthusiasm, but then within the...
Yeah.
Yeah, that hunger, like, you know.
Yeah, they're not doing it for the money. You don't feel any of that. Anyone's there for the money or for I don't know, whatever, fame or whatever. You feel they're there because they really want to make unusual, unique films.
All right, well, congratulations on the film, guys. I really enjoyed it, and thanks for speaking to me today.
Thank you.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, man.
So that was Mark Rylance, who plays a local British mariner who goes steaming into Dunkirk on the tiny family boat, just trying to help out, with Barry Cogan, who plays his son. And now here's Jacob talking to Cillian Murphy, who plays this shell-shocked officer who they pick up on the way.
Cillian Murphy, good to see you. How are you?
I'm all right.
Good, good, good. Very well, thank you. Correct me if I'm wrong, this is your fifth time working with Christopher Nolan.
So it seems, yeah.
So it seems, yeah. What is it like working with him? How different is it working with him than it is to working with any other filmmaker?
Well, you know, Chris has very sort of specific approaches to the work. I mean, every director is different, you know, but I suppose I've had the pleasure of working with Chris a few times now, so you get a sort of an insight into how he goes about it. And it's very, very rigorous. It's very sort of demanding on himself and on his crew and on his cast, and incredibly focused. And you know, his vision is so clear and so strong. He feels very confident, you know, in sort of being part of that. And when he pushes it, you know, it feels like a good place to be.
Mm, definitely. And it really feels like watching this film is that without him around or in the industry working today, there wouldn't be films like this being made on this scale, at least. Does it feel like that when you're on set with the actors, when you're filming the scenes?
Well, I think... You know, people talk about Chris's films like they're on a big scale and that they're epic in nature, and which is certainly true. But always in my experience, it's always the things that I remember is the sort of intimacy of the work together. You know, that particularly in this film, we're on a little boat out in the ocean, and it's just three or four actors and Chris and the cameraman and the sound guy, and that's it. You know, so it feels really intimate, and I know that around it there's this huge story unfolding. But that's been my experience in all of his films, really, you know, just about the performances and about the work.
Yeah, sure. And you spend a lot of your time working with the incredible Mark Rylance.
Yeah.
How was that?
I mean, it was a dream come true for me, really. You know, I think I'm such a fan of his, and I think any actor is, you know, who knows Mark's work is also a fan. And, not only is he such a brilliant actor, as we've all seen, he just has this tremendous energy around him. It's such a generous energy and spirit to have on set, and you know, for all of us on the boat, you needed that because we were out there all day long in all sorts of weather conditions for a long time, and you know, he's just so lovely to be around.
Yeah, pro.
Mm.
Like you all are, you're all pros.
Well, you get through it.
I mean, it's one of the most intense films I've seen probably ever. Was it intense filming it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like all filmmaking, there's moments of extreme intensity, and then you wait, and then there's moments of extreme intensity, you know. But, you know, when the Spitfires are flying over, and when the sea is on fire, when the destroyer is tipping and all of that stuff, you do, you know, it does take your breath away a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you all felt, like, between everyone in the cast and crew, felt such a responsibility of telling what is one of the most important stories of our history.
Mm.
When you saw the finished product, were you just blown away, as blown away as you hoped you'd be?
I was blown away, yeah, and also quite humbled, you know, because you remember that these were real men and women that gave their lives. And, you know, we met some of the veterans at the premiere, which was also very, very affecting. Yeah. And, I mean, I think we have paid a tribute to them in some small way.
Certainly. And just to finish, a bit of trivia. If you could choose a Chris Nolan film that you haven't starred in, one of the very few you haven't starred in, if you could just go back and add it to your filmography, which one would you choose?
Man, I'd happily be in any of them. I mean,
it's a tough question.
I mean, I remember very vividly seeing Memento in the cinema, but there's no part for me in that, really. I love The Prestige as well, you know what I mean? And Interstellar, I saw it, and it, you know, it made me cry. So, I'd pop up in any
of them. Should you put them all, just add them all on, yeah.
Yeah, I'll happily be in any of them. You know, they're all just, I mean, he's not made a bad film. They're all wonderful creations. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank
Cheers,
you.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks.
All right, thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the episode. I hope you're following us on Twitter at Kernels and on Instagram at Kernels Podcast. And I know you're busy, but if you find time to leave us a little review on iTunes, that really helps us get the podcast out to more people. So it'd be much appreciated. All right, take care.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.